10:34. Time for the Week in Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? A couple of weeks ago, we had some of the cast members of the Paramount Theater's The Secret of My Success here on the program, and they performed for us. And since then, I've seen the show and loved it and gave it a great review. And part of why I'm so happy about our guest here today is because he is the guy that co-wrote the music for Secret of My Success, but he's been here on the show with us many times, normally for his involvement in It's a Wonderful Life that's put on every year. I think that's when I first met Michael Mahler, who is now, the new Stephen Sondheim of Chicago.
Well,
with the music that he's written, which is, it's impressive. The music is really impressive with that. But he's here today because he's doing Paul McCartney tribute show.
That's right.
Out at the Marriott. And we're going to get a little sample of that in a minute. Welcome back. Nice to have you here with us.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Dean. Thanks for having me again.
I am, I've always been impressed with your talent.
Well,
and your writing. And I got to say, I felt a little proud of you when I was sitting there at the Paramount in Aurora.
Oh, that's really nice to hear.
And, watching the show and enjoying the show. But the music jumps out at you. There's something very dimensional and special about the music in that. How did you even get involved in that in the first place?
Well, thanks again for having me, and I'm so glad you liked the show. I knew the director of The Secret of My Success, Gordon Greenberg, because actually I worked with him as an actor here in Chicago. We did a production of Working at the Water Tower Place that he directed. So I knew him there. He was working on finding a team to write The Secret of My Success musical with him. So my writing partner, Alan Schmuckler, and I submitted some songs on spec, and they liked them, and we got the gig. We've sort of been working on it for a number of years, and it's so, so gratifying to get to premiere it here in Chicago, where I'm from. It feels like a really kind of cool way to start off the
right.
journey of the show.
Yeah, and at a big house, so prestigious, the award-winning Paramount and Aurora. It's got to be extra special.
Oh, it's super exciting. It's so great to be, because we're one of the first new musicals that they're producing, and it's so cool to be at the beginning of something that I know they're going to continue doing, which it's a really exciting thing for the theater and for Chicago audiences.
Yeah. Is it, what's the process like of writing? You're starting fresh. This is an adaptation of the 1987 Michael J. Fox movie,
right?
Secret of My Success.
Right.
How do you go about putting music together for that? I mean, do you watch the movie and see if you get some inspiration from things you're seeing in the movie, or
exactly.
just reading scripts? How does that work?
Yeah, you sort of try to get inspiration everywhere you can, but I know my process is, Alan and I, we watched the movie, we talked a lot about what the movie felt like to us and sort of what in our lives sort of resonated with us in the movie, and we talked a lot about the idea of success and what success starts out feeling like when you're a kid. It feels like it wants to be this one thing, whether it's being a millionaire in business or, getting a show on Broadway or whatever
right,
it is.
Yeah.
But then as you grow up and you mature, success, the idea of what success is changes. Maybe it becomes, having a wonderful family. Maybe it becomes doing good work no matter where it ends up, if it's just in a small theater in Chicago or if it goes all the way to New York or whatever it
yeah.
is. Success, kind of the way you measure it, changes as you go. And that became a touchstone for us. And on top of the fact that the movie is just so fun and so goofy. So we sort of said to ourselves, when we write songs for this show, we got to make sure that we have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And we have to make sure that they make us laugh. And if we can sort of tick those boxes, we know that we've succeeded, whether or not the show goes anywhere.
How did you pick such a film that is relatively obscure, even in the Michael J. Fox canon?
Right. It had sort of some of the touchstones that you look for when you look for something that sings. It's goofy in like almost a Shakespearean way with the switching of identities, and it had some real heart at the center of it. So it felt like the story of a small town guy trying to make it in the big city felt like something that could sing. You're always looking for a story that needs to be sung and not just spoken. And
is it easier to do that, to transform a film into a stage musical for a movie that was not a success? Like, for instance, Newsies has become a major hit, and that
right.
wasn't a big hit when it first came out at the theaters, and yet it's a big a stage musical that's very popular now.
I think when you're working on a movie, particularly, audiences will always bring with them the expectations they had when they saw the film. And so if you're working on something that people really loved and know by heart, you're sort of never really going to be able to top it. You're always going to pale in comparison. So I feel like you want to find that sweet spot of a film that people liked and appreciated, but maybe don't watch every single year and have memorized, you know. Ooh. So you can kind of... You can cherry pick the best parts of it.
There's no comparison.
Yeah,
I think that's the beauty of this, in a way, is that even if you've never seen this movie, it's so entertaining and thoughtful and touching.
Oh, good.
This is a little bit when we had the cast here a couple of weeks ago. Ryan, go ahead and start the song here.
It's all up to you when you're in New York. So watch me try, Big Apple. I say hello to the crowds, hello to the stains, hello to the cussing and the fussing when it rains.
And so that's the opening song, I think, right? This
right,
when
yeah.
We first meet the primer, the Michael J. Fox character.
Exactly. Brantley Foster is leaving his home in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and making his way to New York to start his job.
Yeah. Well, it's terrific. Congratulations again. Couldn't be happier for you. Couldn't be prouder of you that, you know, a guy who's been coming on our show on Sunday mornings here for years
it's been really wonderful
achieving. Yeah, it's great.
To feel the support all these years. It's been great. And that's why we can do what we do, is because we have such an incredible community here of people wanting to support new works and support artists.
Yeah. And now your next project is going to be at the Marriott Theater tomorrow and Tuesday, March 9th and 10th. And it's called Silly Love Songs. Michael Mahler sings, Paul McCartney.
You think the people would have had enough of those?
I look Silly around me and songs? I see it isn't so.
Some people want to fill the world.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I'd like to know.
Is here I go again.
All right.
Bum, 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 ba-da.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, that's all you need.
At least there was no swearing this time. So that's good. What a fun concept for a show. How did you get the idea to do this?
Well, Michael Ingersoll is somebody who's putting together shows like this all over the place. His company, Artist Lounge Live, is doing really exciting things. They're taking Chicago artists and pairing them up with people like Paul McCartney or songwriters like Karen Carpenter or Stevie Wonder and creating these evenings that are they're not tribute shows in the sense of, like, I'm not going to put on a mop top wig and, like, pretend to be Paul McCartney.
You're not going to talk like Paul, are you?
No, I'm not going to do, you know, Paul.
Because, you know, when me and John used to write,
that's right, you know,
he would throw a line out and then I would just go, that sounds pretty good.
That's right, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're both putting our thumbs up. You can't see us right now.
Are you sure you don't want Jim to come and...
maybe I should just step down and let him do it.
You could just heckle and interrupt.
You know, Linda. You know, Linda was a very good cook, you know.
That's right. We were going veg, you know.
So, do they come to you and then we want to do this Paul McCartney thing and then you figure out what you want to do?
Yeah, exactly. We sort of work together on putting together an evening of songs that are, you know, a lot of Beatles songs and some songs from his years after the Beatles and Wings and stuff like that. And we're telling a story. It's not just, you know, it's not just the greatest hits. It's sort of walking you through his life and his writing. And I come at it, you know, like you said, like, you know, I'm a songwriter myself. So I get to sort of bring my perspective as to maybe what he was thinking when he was working on things, maybe what things are connected to in his life. And I talk a little bit about my own journey with how the Beatles inspired me and what I sort of take away from them. And so hopefully people will hear songs that they love and really enjoy the band, because the band is awesome. But I hope they also maybe will learn something about Paul they didn't know before.
Yeah, so the show is tomorrow night.
That's right.
At the Marriott in Lincolnshire, and then Tuesday in the afternoon. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So a little chance for evening, a little chance for matinee, for everyone to enjoy. Michael is going to do a couple of songs, a couple, two, three songs for us here this morning. What do you want to start off with?
Yeah, well, one of the songs I do in the show is I talk about when Paul McCartney was a kid, he would always go to parties and bring his guitar, you know, sort of like I used to do, you know, to try to impress the girls. And he would play this piece by Bach to kind of impress him. And it goes like this. But he would always play it wrong. He would play it. So then fast forward to 1968, and he's working on songs for the White Album. He's thinking about the civil rights movement and how can he sort of encapsulate that in a song. And he creates this story of a African American woman looking for the wings to fly, and he takes that song and turns it into Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night.
Love that. I wondered if you were going to do the birds at the end.
Oh, you gotta. You can't.
Gotta have the birds
at
the end.
Can't not do the birds.
That's great. Michael Mahler is here. His show is Silly Love Songs at the Marriott. Tomorrow and Tuesday, we'll tell you how to get tickets for all of that when we come right back. WGN. Tomorrow morning on the WGN TV morning news, I am just back from New York City. I wore a mask.
I was just going to say, were you afraid? No?
I don't think so.
Were a lot of people wearing masks?
A lot of people were wearing masks. I've never seen so many people when they got on the plane, as I always do, get the Clorox wipes out and wipe off the chairs,
you do that?
The trays, the TV monitors, anything that I'm going to touch. I wiped down. So the plane smelled delightful
for
the first time. I felt like I was on a clean plane. That was very nice. But anyway, back from New York, where I interviewed John Krasinski and his wife, Emily Blunt.
Oh, both.
For their new movie, Quiet Place 2, which I've already seen and will give a good review. Tomorrow morning, I'll have my interview with our pal John Krasinski, all on Chicago's number one TV morning show, the WGN TV Morning News, talking with our old pal Michael Mahler, who's here, and Jim Tarano, of course, is in with us today. We're talking about his show, Silly Love Songs. At the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire tomorrow and Tuesday. And you were talking about how in the show you talk about how the Beatles influenced you and your love for the Beatles music. What was that? Tell us about that.
Oh gosh, when I was a kid, I mean, I got into the Beatles hard when I was junior high and watching footage of them performing and all the girls kind of screaming every time they would go whoa. That looks like a good job. I wonder how I can do that job.
That doesn't look too distracting for a musician either when you're trying to perform and people are just
screaming bloody murder
at the top
whole
of their
time.
Lungs.
That's why they stopped performing.
Exactly.
Because
that
couldn't
led
be
to
heard.
Stuff like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band,
yeah.
So they could just send a record out on tour instead of going out themselves.
Yeah, and by the way, if anyone is going to go to Michael's show at the Marriott tomorrow, that's what I would like you to do when you're
in please,
the
yes.
Just scream your head off.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would love it.
To make it more authentic.
Speaking of
musicals, which Beatles songs, though, influenced you most, do you think?
Oh, man. I feel like so many of them over the years. I have stories like everybody does. You know, the Beatles songs get into your bones, and you connect them to moments in your life. I remember when I was... I was probably 12, and a show I was working on as an actor closed, and I was really sad because it's one of the first shows, and you're like, oh, we're never gonna be friends again, it's never gonna feel this good again. And I remember I went into my basement and we had Hey Jude on the jukebox, and I played it over and over, and I would just cry and feel like it's gonna be okay, it'll be better, and so that song will always sort of be a comforting song for me. Like, yeah, everybody has stories like that. That's what makes the song so universal, I think.
Yeah. What in the show, how many Paul McCartney songs?
We do a total of 23 songs.
Wow.
So we run the gamut. We do early stuff. We do all the way into Wings and beyond. It's pretty cool.
Were you asked? Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just want to say, considering musicals, are you aware that Paul McCartney is writing the music for a stage version of It's a Wonderful Life?
I heard about that. I know he's going to put us out of a job, I think.
Yeah, so he's actually getting into it now, too.
I don't think anything will ever replace your version of It's a Wonderful
Life. Oh, well. That's very
It's
kind.
Now a Chicago classic. You got a couple songs for us?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, we talked about... Like I told you, I wrote the songs for Secret of My Success with my writing partner, Alan Schmuckler. So we collaborate often. And in this business, you often find yourself writing with other people. Like, John and Paul would always collaborate with each other in the early days. And I heard somewhere that collaboration with someone is like you collaborate each other. You're always collaborating each other. Because it's sort of like, it's an argument in a way. It's always trying to sort of fight your way into the best version of whatever the song can be. And for John and Paul, that was certainly true. But they always, luckily for us, found a way to work it out. Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? Why are you seeing your way? Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime, so I will ask you once again. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Why you seeing your way? Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Da 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 da.
Right, very nice. I saw Elton Jim. You were singing along. You were mouthing.
Oh, I know all the Beatles. I love the Beatles.
Yeah, that's a great part of the show is we invite people to sing with us because it's songs that, everybody knows by heart.
When he was talking about Lennon and McCartney, Jim, were you thinking about Elton and Bernie Taupin?
You mean Oscar winners?
Oscar
yes,
winners.
The latest Elton. Oscar winners?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I certainly. Well, I mean.
Same kind of partnership.
I would have to think that, when you think of Lennon and McCartney, it's going to be funny how in 100 years they are going to be viewed as like Mozart.
Absolutely.
In 100 years from now, it's hard for us to think that because they're in front of us, but in 100 or 200 years, those songs will still be played.
I completely agree with you. I think you're right. They've become a part of our cultural identity, really.
And those early songs, too, they are so hummable.
Yeah.
And just immediately poppy and feel good.
Yes.
Even a song like that, which is We Can Work It Out, is kind of like, I'm a little edgy.
Yeah,
and yet
way,
it's still
it's an argument.
Anytime Paul McCartney sings, it's always happy.
he's got that sort of undeniable buoyancy,
Yeah.
Well, and that's what made
even still.
Yeah.
Even when you see him in concert now,
absolutely. He's
still
out there.
Still giving peace signs.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's just built to do this, I think. He was just sort of made to be who he is.
We have time for one more short song, have.
Well, speaking of buoyancy, this is in the other direction. Right, so Paul has written lots of different kinds of songs about love. He's written about young love, like in She Was Just 17, you know what I mean? And he's written about infatuation and like a lovely Rita Metermaid, or he's written about old love, like When I'm 64.
Are you gonna make me cry with Yesterday Now?
Oh, well, maybe I am.
I'm hoping.
Look at you.
I'm hoping.
Turn the lights out, Dean.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Really nice. Great job. Great job. That's the most recorded song of all time.
Yeah. That's right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, Scrambled Eggs. That was the actual title of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He rolled out of bed one day. He had the whole melody in his head, which is so amazing. Yeah. He made up words so that he could sing it to people to say, hey, did I write this or did somebody else write this? You know, Scrambled Eggs.
Scrambled Eggs.
Silly Love Songs. Michael Mahler sings Paul McCartney. It's tomorrow night and Tuesday afternoon at the Marriott in Lincolnshire. You can get tickets at Artists Lounge. Let me do that again. ArtistLoungeLive.com. ArtistLoungeLive.com or by calling 847-634-0200. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me, Gene. Songs. I can't thank you enough for everything you've said about me today. I really appreciate it.
You are a spectacular performer, and I'm so happy for all your success. Michael Mahler, quick break, and we'll update news next. WGN.